In the next slide, we'll continue in Isaiah 53. It says he was oppressed and afflicted and opened not his mouth. That's the trial of Christ. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before its shears is silent. He didn't open his mouth. Then, see, these are all details, trial details. And then look at this. He's taken from prison and from death. There's more details. He was cut off from the land of the living. But look at verse 9. They made his grave with the wicked. They wanted, see what I wrote in my Bible there? They wanted to toss Jesus on the trash pile with all the others. When someone was crucified, they just put him on the trash when they were dead. But look what God adds. But with the rich at his death, I wrote there, Joseph and Nicodemus, they made sure that Jesus was with the rich at his death in a new tomb because he had done no violence. Like Pilate said over and over, I find no fault with him. Yet, verse 10 says, it pleased the Lord to put him to grief, to make him suffer. When you make his soul an offering for sin, see, that's the guilt offering. That was the penalty of my sin. He was taking the guilt off my account unto him. He shall see his seed and prolong his days, promise the resurrection, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper at his hand. That's all of us, the church, all the redeemed. Look at verse 11. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. Wow. Now look, God starts speaking again. Remember, God was speaking in chapter 52, verse 12. Now God speaks again. By his knowledge, my righteous servant, there's that word again, shall justify many. Not all, not universalism, but the many who call out to him. For he shall bear their iniquities. And then, of course, this wonderful ending, capped with this. He bore the sins of many. He made intercession for the transgressors. That's what sustains us today. Now, you can look up from your slide. This is a great reminder of Hebrews 7 that says, he ever lives to make intercession for us. Therefore, that's why he saves us to the uttermost. Why? Because of verse 12 of chapter 53, he is the one who intercedes for us. Back down to the slides. What we see next is kind of a summary, and I'll go through these with you real quick. This is in my journal, as I told you about. I always write down what I learn. Number one, Jesus was lowly. That's his humility. He comes like a root out of the dry ground. He's rejected. So Jesus understands rejection. He is a divine substitute. That was the Ebed, my servant part. The scriptures say he was crushed, marred more than any man. He's submissive. He opened not his mouth. He's accused and put in prison and judgment. The next slide, he's cut off out of the land of the living. He's guiltless. There was no violence. So I'm writing all these in my journal and you know, thinking about how to apply it, you know, as an offering to the Lord. He continued, that's the resurrection. He's blessed. Pleasure would prosper at his hand. He's triumphant. He's dividing the spoil. That means he's the victor. And his sacrifice was accepted by God. He would justify many. Now, in the next slide, I just want to show you something. And in fact, look up for a second. Isaiah is writing in the 8th century BC. So he goes from the 8th to the 7th century BC. There's another gospel writer in the Old Testament by the name of Zechariah that's writing after the return of the exiles from Babylon back to Israel. So he is writing about 150 years after Isaiah, but he picks up with the same event of this substitute that's a person who is going to pay this great Isaiah 53 price. That's what's in Zechariah. So look down at Zechariah, and this is kind of like an added bonus as long as we're here. Here's my question for you. When was Yahweh pierced? What do I mean by that? Well, look right here in verse 10. It says, they will look on me whom they pierced. And I wrote right here in my Bible, when was Jehovah Yahweh pierced? When? Well, Some people say, well, what's it talking about? Well, let's go back right here to chapter 12, verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord. So it's the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. So that's who's talking. The Lord who stretches out the heavens, who lays the foundation of the earth, who forms the spirit of man. So that's the great Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, the creator. Now he starts talking in verse 2. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding people when they lay siege against Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone. In that day, verse 4, says the Lord, I, so do you get, I mean, it's the Lord here, I will open, keep going down here to verse 6, I will make them like a fire against all those who come to Jerusalem. And look, the Lord. So it's still the Lord, I, the Lord, I, Lord. Verse 8, in that day, the Lord will defend the inhabitants. Verse 9, in that day, I, still the Lord, I, verse 10, will pour out in the house of David and Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication when they look on me. When was Yahweh pierced? On the cross. This is one of the greatest ways to show to a Jewish person the Messiah.